talk about the effect of halide ion on AOPs. And so to begin, what are advanced oxidation processes? These are processes that use a bulk oxidant as a source of hydroxyl radical for degrading organic pollutants. And examples of this include UV hydrogen peroxide, various permutations of ozone, UV, and hydrogen peroxide, and the Fenton and photofenton reactions. I've done a lot of work on the latter two in the past. Also includes photocatalysis using usually titanium dioxide in the presence of oxygen and ultraviolet light. So why use AOPs? Well, AOPs cause advanced degradation, hence the term advanced oxidation processes. And these degradation reactions often lead to the mineralization of the compound of carbon dioxide, water, and in the case of the compound having other elements, mineral acids such as sulfuric, hydrochloric, etc. The advantage of this type of treatment over conventional treatments such as activated carbon or membrane treatments are that you degrade the compounds rather than just simply sequestering them. Okay, so there's an increasing need for broad spectrum techniques for removing organics from brackish waters and wastewaters. Americans are settling in arid regions lacking pristine water, and this can be said for countries in the Middle East and elsewhere as well. The potential reusable water sources, however, usually contain high salt concentrations, high organic matter concentrations, and or hazardous chemicals. These potential water sources include municipal wastewater effluents, brackish groundwaters, produced waters from oil field operations, and industrial wastewaters. Now, reverse osmosis is a technique that can remove these materials if need be. However, when you use reverse osmosis, typically the reject volume can be up to 50% of the initial volume. You still have to deal with that that volume of water. And now advanced oxidation is being used currently worldwide in treatment of industrial wastewaters and to a certain extent in treatment of produced waters from oil field operations. It's not usually used to treat water for drinking water purposes, but this may become a popular choice in the future. So, in other words, we need clean water, and we also, there's also another point here that I don't have written down, is that the disposal of these types of waters can have effects on the receiving bodies, and for that reason, it's also desirable to have to clean up the water. Now, as I said, these wastes often contain high concentrations of halides. Here's some data here, chloride and bromide. And for reference here, I have seawater down here. I'm going to make the point that bromide is the real problem here. Bromide typically accompanies chloride in salty waters. The seawater chlorine to bromine ratio is about 675. That ratio is not always seen in other types of waters, but you always find bromide ion along with chloride. So what does bromide do? Well, bromide scavenges hydroxyl radical. These are some data calculated from a reverse osmosis brine from California, and these are the different species here that can react with hydroxyl radical. And you can see that bromide here is the most effective of all of them, even though its concentration is pretty small, at scavenging hydroxyl radical. It's even more effective than dissolved organic matter at scavenging hydroxyl radical. So here are the reactions of bromide ion with hydroxyl radical. And what you get here is the formation of reactive halogen species from this reaction. Bromine atoms, dihalo radical anions, molecular bromine, trihalide ion. I lost my cursor somehow. Here it is. And HOBR from these reactions. Now, chloride undergoes these reactions too, but because of the pH, these reactions are only important at quite acidic pH. So it's bromide here that is really doing the scavenging, and one forms these radical halogen species and non-radical reactive halogen species. So here's some modeling. This is done in an AOP. This is just computational results showing the different important species that are formed from hydroxyl radical. And you can see that the sum of the radical halogen species, principally bromine and chlorine atoms and the dihalo radical anions, exceed that of hydroxyl radical when you do these simulations. And even though, so in all cases the sum is greater than OH radical, and even though chloride is present in much higher concentration, the bromine containing RHS predominate. Radical reactive halogen species are less reactive but more selective than hydroxyl. So one can expect that if one is trying to degrade organic compounds in the wastewater, one can get different results if you have bromide ion presence. And this is just some data. I'm not going to go through all of it, but the point is that the rate constants for reaction of the radical halogen species are high enough so that they can participate in oxidation of the organics, partially compensating for the loss of OH radical, which is the one you really wanted in the first place. And also, another important thing is that reactive halogen species may incorporate the halogen into the organics. And here is a reaction of phenol. We chose phenol as representative of functional groups present in dissolved organic in natural organic matter, as well as a model pollutant. And this is removal by UV hydrogen peroxide. And in the red here is just the phenol with no halide present. And when you include bromide ion, you get a 30% reduction in the phenol removal rate. This is the halide ion concentration in seawater, the bromide ion concentration in seawater. However, if you use the kinetic model with phenol absent, you indicate a 97.5% decrease in OH radical with the addition of BR. So that would give you a calculated rate of phenol way up here. So you can see that this strongly suggests that bromine radicals or bromine radical anions are removing phenol and partially compensating for the loss of hydroxyl radical. And here we followed so far, this is very young data, very early part of the study, we followed the mono, di, and tribromophenols. The only ones we found were the mono halo phenols, We found no chlorinated phenols, only brominated, and these are the yields of 2-bromo and 4-bromo phenol during the degradation of phenol. I should actually have the we should actually have shown the degradation of phenol, but it comes on down here like that. And anyway, you can see that the molar yield of these chlorinated brominated compounds is quite small. At most, we get about 1%, so it's not a big deal. In fact, the major reaction products are the dihydroxyphenols, which result from one electron removal by the halogen radicals and also by reaction of OH radical as well. Here's the yields of halogenated intermediates when both when both chloride and bromide are present. We do find when chloride is present, we do find 2-chlorophenol and 4-chlorophenol at quite low yield, but again, the major products are the brominated phenols. And so the implications for water treatment, if we look at this, this is the green is the total halogenated phenols, and the red is the phenol in the presence of halide ion, the black is the phenol alone, and you can see that the rate is a little bit slower in the presence of bromide, but not all that much. But you get these halogenated phenols, and they persist longer. So the point is here that you have to run out the treatment longer in order to degrade these potentially toxic halogenated compounds. And so by in ignoring the effect of halide ions, you may lead to incomplete removal of the toxic materials. Another type of reaction that can go on is the attack of these halogen reactive halogen species on carbon-carbon double bonds. And if you look at the advanced oxidation process treatment of oleic acid, you find that you get these halohydrins here, where HOX adds across the double bond. I'm not implying that it's HOX that does the reaction, but this is what you get as a product. And here you can see the appearance of both the bromohydrin and the chlorohydrin in this reaction. I don't have actual, we don't have a standard here yet, and so I don't have actual data. I don't know what these numbers actually correspond to. They're just area counts, but they do build up during the reaction. And we've also observed bromine incorporation into dissolved organic matter. So this is an irradiated freshwater DOM sample dissolved in simulated seawater and using UV hydrogen peroxide treatment. And then the samples were dialyzed to remove the inorganic bromine and then analyzed for both dissolved organic carbon, usually using a regular TOC instrument, and total bromine by inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry, which is a very sensitive, very clean technique to determine the remaining organobromine. And so here's the bromine to carbon mass ratio as a function of time in this sample. And although there's considerable scatter in the data, you can see clearly that we're getting bromination of the dissolved organic matter in this sample over time. And so this brings up an interesting question. Is this reaction going on in the natural environment? And we're looking at that right now. We're looking at the appearance of brominated seawater DOM in seawater and in marine aerosols. So in conclusion then, halide ions are expected to retard advanced oxidation process treatment of saline-impacted waters by transforming hydroxyl into less reactive and more selective radical halogen species. For phenol, these byproducts were minimal and they were transient, and the rates of removal were retarded, but not so severely to make treatment impractical. From alkenes, we get the halohydrins, and they seem to build up in the reaction. And dissolved organic matter, especially seawater organic matter, contains a fair amount of unsaturated fatty acid groups, so we should expect to see this in marine samples. And we do observe the halogenation of dissolved organic matter. And it's hard to say whether this is a real concern in treatment of potentially reclaimed wastewater, but further work is needed, I think, to determine whether this is a real issue at this point. Thank you.
Are there any questions? When you showed that with your theoretical calculation that most of the hydroxide radicals scattered by the bromine, but then later you showed in some data that a good portion of your phenol was dihydroxyphenol, how do you know that phenol is not just competing with bromine in reaction with hydroxyl radicals?
It is. It most certainly is. Now, the dihydroxy benzenes could come from OH radical. They could also come from bromine radicals as well, because the main reaction pathway for phenol that's reported in the literature is a one electron oxidation of phenol to give the phenol radical as the product, and then that goes on to react with oxygen to give you the dihydroxy, and so we don't know which one is responsible for that, but that's the major product. But certainly phenol is competing with the, and I think I showed in one of the earlier slides that if you do the calculations in the presence of dissolved organic matter and you use literature rate constants for reaction, you do find that DOM does compete with bromine, bromide, or OH.
Yes. So two questions. One, were these done in degassed? Were oxygen present?
Yes, oxygen present.
Do you think there would be very difference if you put a basically degassed acid argon? If you get different chemistry, that would be oxygen?
You would. You would get different chemistry. For one thing, you'd get some coupling of the phenolic radicals. In the presence of oxygen, you do get more oxidation. And in advanced oxidation processes in general, when you carry out the reactions in the presence of oxygen, the initially formed carbon radicals react pretty rapidly with oxygen for the most part. No.
Okay. I wonder if you're going back to your photo vintage.
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the reaction occur in all bromine salts, or would what type of salt you use make a difference?
Any salt that would dissociate into bromide ion in solution would react.